From JMI Wealth, Andrew Kelleher, good morning.
Very good morning, Mike.
Now, consumer confidence, I couldn't find any.
No, we all had a day off yesterday, and that we won't know whether that prompted a swag of retail activity until we get the June spending numbers. But on Friday, we got the latest read on consumer confidence. This is the ANZ Roy Morgan Consumer Confidence Survey, and it highlights a bit of a problem we've got at the moment, Mike, is that confidence is in very short supply. We just don't seem to be able to get a positive vibe going at all. So at the headline level, consumer confidence fell 5 points to 92.9 in May. That reverses a lift we saw in April. And Mike, you might remember we spoke recently about business confidence number. That also showed a reversal in business confidence for that month following a lift as well. So there's no optimism in households. The key indicator there is that the number of people who think it's a good time to buy a major household item, and that is still weak. Now, look, you may not have expected this, but it really does seem that this whole global tariff headlines, increased global uncertainty, is actually impacting on New Zealanders as well. It's impacting on us. Yep. Yeah. So inflation expectations, they're also elevated. We don't put too much weight in this survey on the actual number there, but it's jumped, and that's not good news. And this is the one that really gets me. The number of people who think that they expect to be better off this time next year, it's sitting at a net 12%. There's only 12% of us think we're going to be better off this time next year. Don't people think things are going to get better anyway? It's down 11 points, and that really does point to our state of mind, doesn't it? Perceptions regarding economic outlook over the next 12 months also fell 4%. There's a very small lift in house price expectations. Auckland there now sitting at, people think they're going to go up 4.1%. Look, Mike, I would say, look, this is sort of anecdotal chatter from my point of view. So admittedly, it's got a bias to business anecdotal chatter and probably urban because I'm not out in the regions all that much, but it does suggest that May has delivered a bit of a hit. We actually slowed down in May. And this is, I suppose, contrary to the positive momentum you see out in the agri sector. So we'll wait and see what the numbers say. But at the moment, it doesn't look great.
No, it doesn't feel good either. What about the old sell in May and go away? How'd that work out for you?
Yeah, well, it's the start of June. So it's pretty much half the year is gone. I know it's not the end of June yet, but we don't do much in the second half of December, do we? So we're almost halfway through the year. So it's the start of June. We can look at market performances in May and the monthly sort of check-in. And yes, there's that old adage in the US market, sell in May and go away. And it points to May to October traditionally being sort of a weak period. You have the US summer holidays in there as well. But if you actually look at the data, Mike, it doesn't really hold up. But it's got a nice ring to it, hasn't it, this year? But this year, it would have been a bad idea because the S&P 500 index, the benchmark US index in May, has had the best May since 1990 and the best month since November 2023. So the S&P gained 6.15% in May. The NASDAQ, the tech index, was up almost 10%. So happy days. The tech sector has regained its mojo. The Magnificent 7 index, it gained 13.4% in May. So earnings for Mag 7 companies were better than expected. But the US markets in general, Mike, need to get a bit of a wriggle on to retain their mojo if we look at their global comparative performance. Because so far this year, 8 out of 10 of the best performing markets are actually in Europe. It's the place to be. You had that big sell-off in April in the US markets, staged a very strong bounce back, but still well below European markets. I always tell you, though, Mike, I always tell people, if in doubt, zoom out. Because if you zoom out here, European markets haven't eclipsed the US market when you look at it over a long time frame. Obviously, the key issue sitting in the background here was that reversal of the German policy around defence and infrastructure, and that led to a big surge in European defence-related companies. Unfortunately, Mike, if you look closer to home here, the news is a bit grim because the NZX 50, which is a growth index, which includes dividends, which sort of tends to flatter it, it was down 5.3% so far this year. So we are not doing very well. Ryman, Sky City, Spark, they're all contributing to the very lackluster performance. You've got Infratil, you've got Fisher & Paykel, you've got Healthcare. Just NZX 50 just can't get going.
Well, there's another half year.
There
still
is.
To come, Andrew. Now, what are the numbers?
Well, the Dow Jones is down 98 points, about 0.23%, 42,169. The S&P 500, we'll call it flat, 5911. But the NASDAQ has gained 0.44% overnight so far, sub 85 points, 19,199. The FTSE 100 overnight gained 2 points, 8774. The Nikkei down 1.3%, 37,471. The Shanghai Composite down just under 0.5%, 3347. The Aussies yesterday lost 21 points, 8414. And of course, we didn't trade, but we did yesterday, but we did close out Friday on a strong note. The NZX 50 gained 137 points on Friday, 1.1%, 12,418. Kiwi, US dollar is a little bit weaker, Kiwi stronger, 0.6022 against the US, 0.9289 Aussie, 0.5271 Euro, 0.4453 against the pound, 86.07 Japanese yen. Gold still strong, $3,374. Brent crude, $64.87.
All right. See you tomorrow. Appreciate it. Andrew Kelleher, jmawealth.co.nz.